Okay, first of all, I have to apologize because on Monday's shiur, Monday's shiur never made it online, and I accidentally deleted it. And I have to tell you, I wasn't really so upset that I accidentally deleted it because it was a terrible shiur. So I may have to give it again anyhow. But it really was an accident. Like, I didn't delete it on purpose, unless maybe something was, subconsciously or something. So Monday's shiur never made it online. So there's a gap in the online presentation of these shiurim in terms of the halachos of Avelus and Shabbos and Yom Tovim. So it's probably kedai at some point that I should give a separate shiur on that and actually have it organized. But that's just to let you know. So when I numbered the shiurim online, I just kept I didn't skip any numbers. But really, shiur 27 is really shiur 28 and whatever. Okay, so today we're up to the very last siman in Hilchos Avelus, siman Taf Gimel, and today we're going to discuss Dinei Hamalaket Atzamos. So this is based on the sugya in Moed Katan, like most of Avelus, except Moed Katan Daf Ches. What in the world does it do in Moed Katan Daf Ches? Everything is supposed to be in the third parak of Moed Katan, right? All of Hilchos Avelus in the third parak of Moed Katan. So this made it into Moed Katan Daf Ches is in the first parak of Moed Katan because the Mishnah discusses being Malaket Atzamos on Chalamoed. So it's in the Hilchos Chalamoed section, not the Hilchos Avelus section of Maseches Moed Katan. Malaket Atzamos means moving the body, right? You bury the body in one place and then you want to move to Kivrei Avos, you want to move to Eretz Yisrael, so you move the body somewhere else. So are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? That's the context within which it comes up. So the Gemara over there tells us that if someone is Malakid Atzmos Avi V'Imo, he's Misabel Aleim Kol HaYom, and then La'erev, he's not Misabel Aleim. So the day of the Likud Atzmos, he practices Avelus, and then that evening, he no longer practices Avelus. So the Ramban in Taras Adam and the Rush in Simin Yud say, Avi V'Imo? No, I love Davka Avi V'Imo. Shar Krovim also. It's not only about a father and mother. Whenever you're relative, so you practice Avelus for all relatives. However, the Ritva writes, Misabel Aleim Kol Yom Kulo, Pirish Midrabanan, and then he adds the following words, L'kvod Avi V'Imo. He makes it sound like it's purely a din of Kibbut Ave'im. Sounds like it doesn't apply to other relatives, that it's only Avi V'Imo. L'chora, the Rush and the Ramban would have to say that that it's not a din of Kibbut Ave'im, obviously, but why does the Gemara give the example of Malaket Atzmos Avi V'Imo, meaning if it's true of all relatives, why Dafka Avi V'Imo? So it could be that that Agav Orcha Kamashmalan, I saw one of the Achronim, the Tel Chaim, suggests that Agav Orcha Kamashmalan, that Rav Meir is telling us that you're allowed to be Malaket Atzmos Aviv against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in Masechus Smachos Parakid Beis, who holds that someone was Malaket that Kol Atzmos Adam Malaket Chutz Miatzmos Aviv Imo. Since there is a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that you're not allowed to be Malaket Atzmos Aviv Imo, so Meir Dafka wants to give the example that you're being Malaket Atzmos Aviv Imo. Maybe. More likely, we're giving the example of Avi Imo because that is usually who you're in charge of being Malakit, meaning if it's a brother or a sister, so usually it's their children that are going to bear the ultimate responsibility of moving them. So Dafka, it gives an example of Avi Imo. Okay. It could be also, we'll see soon, that there may be a different way, even though there is Avelus for all relatives, and we do Paskin, like the Ramban and the Rush, that any relative that gets moved, there's Avelus, but it could be that there's a difference between Avi V'Imo and Shar Krovim, and that's why we're highlighting Avi V'Imo in terms of how far out of our way we go to be able to practice the Avelus. And we'll see soon what that means. So that might be another explanation, according to the Ramban and the Rush, of why we choose Avi V'Imo. Then the Gemara says that even Tzuros lo b'sadino misablam aleihem, even if the bones are wrapped in a sadin, they're wrapped in a cloth, you're still misablam them. And Rashi says, what's the chiddush? That the chiddush is that you weren't malakit them, because you didn't even see them. Still you have to be misablam them, ada erev, until they're reburied. Meaning, even though even though you weren't malake ratzamos, we imagine malake ratzamos means you go and you pick out bones. You didn't. They were in a body bag, and you just picked up the whole body bag, and you moved it somewhere else. Afal pikein, there's still this din of avelis. Tosos explains, nah, the chiddush is, afil tsurim lo besadino, and adayin lo nikburu, ein mesablin la'erev. That even though you haven't yet reburied them, the avelis still ends when that night comes. Meaning, you, if the body was removed from the grave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and has not yet been reburied by Tzeis HaKochavim that night, still your avelus ends that night, even though they're tsura lo besadino, they're not yet reburied in the karka. That's how Tosus understands the chiddush of tsura lo besadino. So based on La Halacha, the Beis Yosef quotes both of the deos. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, though, in Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes, Amlak et atzmos aviv, oh, shall shar krovim. So first of all, you see clearly shar krovim as well. Shemesab nolem, mesabel nolem, kola yom kula bekola dvar manog mavil bekfiasamita vativisarosh nilsandal vatashramita ruchita vesicha. Ula erev ein mesablu maleim afilu tsurim lo besadino, and the avelus ends that evening, even if tsurim lo besadino. So from the lashon, even though the Beis Yosef quotes both deos, from the lashon Shulchan Aruch sounds much more like Tosos. And that's what the Baragola points out over here, that Shulchan Aruch is going like Tosos. The Aruch HaShulchan mentions both deos. You have to be mesabel even though you yourself were not melakate the atzamos, and also you're not mesabel after the evening already arrives. The Ramban and the Rush point out that lefichach, you should not be malakit samuch lechashecha, in order that it shouldn't turn out that you were never misabel, that you never get to be misabel alikar atzmos aviv. Meaning, if they do the likar atzmos 5 minutes before chashecha, so then and the avelus ends at chashecha, you end up not doing any avelus. So that's what the Ramban writes. Don't do that. The Ramban and the Rush write, don't do that, because that's going to prevent you from doing the avelus that you're supposed to be doing. The Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Beis, though, add something interesting. He writes, Ein malakin samuch l'chashecha if it's aviv v'ima. If it's other relatives, you could be malakit samuch l'chashecha. Ooh, why is that? Mehechi taisi, that there's a difference between aviv v'ima versus sharkrov. Meaning the Aruch HaShulchan says, of course, we paskin that there's a din avelus by sharkrov also. But the din of not being malakit samuch l'chashecha, that's only for aviv v'ima. That doesn't apply to sharkrov. Why would that be the case? So you have to say is that it's considered to be a lack of kibur aveim if you work your way around the avelus. If you end up being malakit the atzamos, knowing about it, and then not being misabel because you only left yourself 3 minutes. But when it comes to shar krovim, it's not a lack of kibur aveim. You had no technical chiv, and if you have no technical chiv, you don't have to do it. But it's a bizayon to the parents not to be misabel in that case. Ooh, so maybe that's what the Gemara Dafka. That's why the Gemara Dafka chose an example of aviv imo, even though it's true of shar krovim that by aviv imo you're misabel kol hayom, because and you should make sure that if you are doing the likur atzamos, if you are personally involved in likur atzamos, that you actually are misabel kol hayom, and that you don't just do it last minute by shar krovim. Maybe you could do it last minute. So that might be another explanation, according at least to the shita of the Ramban and the Rush, that hu adin l'shar krovim, which we paskin like, why it is that the Gemara Dafka chose to say aviv imo. Okay, so when does the avelus begin when it comes to likur atzamos? So it sounds from all this that the avelus begins when you're malakit, as soon as you start pulling out the bones. And the reason is because that's why if in the middle of being malakit the atzamos it turns dark, so then there's no chiyuv avelus afterwards. Meaning you don't have to finish the likur atzamos, you just have to start the likur atzamos as soon as you begin being malakit. So that's it. Then the dinim of avelus begin. However, that's what the Pashto says. However, the Chaznish in Yerodea, Simereshu Gimel Sivdal, writes that the Avelus is Chal when you complete the Likud. And even if you're Malakit Rosh Ovarubo, if there's still more to be Malakit, and it's Logomer Mitzvasan, then the Avelus is not Chal. Wow, so it turns out, according to the Chaznish, if you start being Malakit Atzamos 5 minutes Kodem Chashecha, and then you finish being Malakit Lacher Chashecha, the whole next day you have to observe Avelus. right? According to the Pashas, so you wouldn't have to, meaning as soon as they start a Malake, that's when your Avelis begins, and then it ends at Ba'erev, even though you're not done with the Likud HaTzamos. But the Chaznish says not that way. The Chaznish says that would, the whole next day you would have a Avelis. Because Mishnah writes in Perek Yud Beis, Milchus Avel, that Avelis is Chal Mitchilas HaLikud. That's against the Chazanish, right? Chazanish holds that not so. And the Chazanish L'chor is not the pashtus of the Lashon of most of the Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim assume that as soon as you're Malakid, so that's when the Avelus begins. What about Aninus? Do we redo Aninus also? Is there any stage of Aninus over here? So Nemuka Yosef in Tezvavan Beis Dibra Maskel Misabel says that we're not Misabel Kedine Avelus. When we say Misabel, it means we're Misoning, and it's Asur Ba'achilas Kachin. The Beis Yosef rejects that Nemuka Yosef, and he says, what are you talking about? All the other poskim say that it's a din of Avelus, not a din of Aninus. If it's only about Achilas Kachim, none of the poskim should have even mentioned it, because we don't have a Chilas Kachim anymore. So the fact that this is in the Rith, and that this, you know, that in the Rush, and that this is quoted by not just by the Rambam, but by all the poskim, it gives you the very clear impression that this is not just a din in Achilas Kachim. And that's why the Beis Yosef rejects this Nemukei Yosef. The Rush in Simen Nun Vav, in the third parak of Moed Katan, quotes Maram Rutenberg, that calls man that they haven't yet been buried, you have all the dinim of Aninus, Asur B'Shtiyas Hayayin, Achilas Basar. Once they've been buried, then the dinim of it, once they've been reburied, that's when the dinim of Avelus Archal until the end of that day. That's how Maram Rutenberg says. The Rush says, I disagree. He says, no, there's no din of Aninus at all. And the din of Avelus is before you rebury them. The din of Avelus is when you're Malakeh Atzamos, like we just said before. The Chazanish says, from when you complete being Malakeh, we thought the Kazimisha wrote from when you begin to be Malakeh, but everyone holds it's when you're being Malakeh. You don't have to rebury them for the din of Avelus to begin. So the Rush says, not true. Not like Maram Rutenberg. Maram Rutenberg understands that this follows the same pattern as the first Kvura, that up until Kvura you're an Onein, and after the Kvura you're an Avel. But the Rush says, no, this is an entirely different system over here. There is no Aninus, there's Avelus as soon as you start doing the Likud HaTzamos. So it turns out the Rush and Maram Rutenberg are arguing about two separate points. First of all, whether a Malakeh HaTzamos is us or Basav Yayin prior to the second Kvura. And second of all, whether the Dinim of Avelus are Chal before the second Kvura. So, again, first machlokas is, are there dinim of Aninus before the second Kvura? And second machlokas is, are there dinim of Avelus before the second Kvura, or only after the second Kvura? So if you look in Shuri Arav, in Simon Mem Aleph, Rav Soloveitchik first explains that maybe the machlokas between Maram Rutenberg and the Rush is whether the mace is considered mace so. It's considered your dead body, your responsibility after the original Kvura. Meaning, maybe that meso muta lefanav, right, which is the din, what we call aninus, requires that it be meso, that it's your responsibility, meso muta lefanav. Maybe that relationship of meso muta lefanav ends at the original kvura. And no matter what happens after that, he can no longer be called meso anymore. He can no longer be called your mace at that point. Wow, the Rush would hold that so long as he's buried once, that's it. He's no longer meso, and therefore there's never going to be a meso muta lefanav anymore. There's never going to be a din of aninus again. You can unbury him, but he doesn't go back to being meso, so there's not going to be any aninus. Again, aninus we mean, as we said, I think in the very first year, means meso muta lefanav. It's not what the Torah calls aninus, meso muta lefanav. So there's not going to be a din of meso muta lefanav. Whereas Maram Rutenberg holds that it is called meso even after the original burial, and Mela, if you're Malaki the Atzamos, Almanas, to bury them a different time, so it's Mamish Meso Muta Lefanav, and therefore you have a Din of Aninos. Then Rav Soloveitchik says, yeah, but that doesn't work with Ramah. Because the Ramah over here in Simon Tov Gimel, Sif Aleph, writes like the Rush, that there's no Din of Aninos by Malaki and Atzamos, right? He writes, Ve'ein Aninos, Blik, Atzamos, Rak, Chal, Olav, Avelos, Miyad. There is no Aninus, there's no period of Aninus by Likud HaTzamos. So it sounds like he holds that it's no longer called Meso. But the Ramah in Shin Ayin Gimel, Sivav, Paskins, that even though a Kohen is not allowed to be Metame to his Karov after the Stimas HaGolel, meaning once the relative is already buried, he's not allowed to be Metame anymore. But in Daito Lefanoso, if he wants to move the body, then it's Mutter the Tame Lo Litzarech Ad Shiistum Golo Sheni. Then the Kohen's allowed to be Metame Tim again. Well, wait a second. Why is the Kohen allowed to be Metame Tim again? It must be that it's still considered Meso. Otherwise, he would not be allowed to be Metame Tim again. So you see that he's still considered Meso L'achar Stimas HaGolel. So it's a steer in the Ramah. Says Rav Soloveitchik, if my word is correct, that the reason, the whole machlok is between the Rosh and Ram Rutenberg, as far as whether we observe dinim of aninus on the second time around, is all about whether it's called mesa. Well, then the Rama sosir himself, because the Rama over here says that there are no dinim of aninus. Apparently, it's not mesa after the original kavura, and yet when it comes to a kohen being metame, it's still called mesa, and he's still allowed to be metame to him. So Soloveitchik says, you know what? The Rama must mean something else. The Rama must assume that he is called Meso, even after Stimas HaGolel. Why aren't we knowing Dine Aninus by Malakir Atzamos? Because we're knowing Dine Avelus. And Dine Aninus and Dine Avelus are a stira minei bay. They can't both happen at the same time. That's the look at the Lashon of the Rama. Ve'ein Aninus belikir Atzamos, rak chalalav Avelus miyad. Right, there's no Aninus. What is it? What's he adding? Rak chalalav avelus miyad. What he means to say is that's the very reason why there's no Aninus by Melaket Atzamos, because there's chalalav avelus miyad. So according to that, the Machlokas Maram and the Rosh is about Aninus Melaket Atzamos is telling the Machlokas L'inyan Avelus, meaning the two are very much connected to each other. The reason why there has to be no Aninus is because there is Avelus. Whereas Maram Rutenberg will say, no, there isn't Avelus. The Avelus is going to come later. It's only going to come after you bury. And therefore that leaves room for the Aninus, meaning in principle they agree that Aninus and Avelus can't coexist. In principle, they agree, but the question is, which one makes room for the other, moves out of the way for the other, right? So the Rosh would understand that Avelus happens right away, there's no room for Aninus. Rav Rutenberg says, no, Aninus happens right away, so Avelus is going to wait till later, Avelus is going to wait until after the Kavura. That's how Soloveitchik explains Machlokas in one of his Mahalchim. He then has another, those are two Mahalchim, right? One is it called Meso? But that only explains the machlokas about the aninus. And then we have, it's definitely called meso. It's just about about the fact that aninus and avelus can't coincide. And that explains both machlokas. That explains both sides of the machlokas. Where do you go with the first approach? Not the explanation they just gave in their mother. It's all tully on whether it's called meso. So then how do you explain the machlokas as far as avelus? So you have to say that the machlokas as far as avelus is a separate machlokas. By the machlokas of the zman chalosa avelus by Melaket Atzamos, it could be that it's mistaver to say that the Rosh is following Shita Saramban, that an onin bialma is also chayev in nihugi avelus, even before the kavura. Or maybe he follows the Rambam that Anonin is not Chayiv Nihugei Avelus, but maybe that's only because there's no Nihugei, it's not Shaykh to have Nihugei Avelus when it's not a Kiyum of a Malos of Shiva. So over here, the Rosh says that you could have a Din of Avelus even before the Kavuras Atzamos, because by Melaket Atzamos, you're only being Nohig Avelus Yom Echad anyway. There is no Malos of the Shiva. Okay. Now, Chazanish comes along some Rashid Gimel Sevalth, and he writes that Din Aninus, that he's potter from mitzvos, because he's tarred by mitzvos kvura, that for sure applies to Melaket Atzamos. Meaning, the dinim of Aninus, that basar and yai and all that, okay, fine, that's not going to apply to Melaket Atzamos. But being potter from mitzvos, that for sure will apply, because he's chayiv b'kvura son. So what does he mean by that? So Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Yerodeh Sim Shinun Gimel, that anyone who knows that his karov zatzamos are being moved is pata from all mitzvos that day until they bring them l'menu chasam, until they bring them to their final resting place. But the Nedbi Yehuda in Madura Kamasim Peches writes, V'lo nachon ligro mavelus krovim b'likor atzamos. Meaning he acknowledges, yes, you'd be pater from mitzvos, but it's not right to create that pater from mitzvos. And we're going to see that in a moment, that really the practice is, you just don't tell the relatives. Meaning, obviously you can't do it without their consent. The relatives want to move the body. So what happens is, the relatives call the Chevra Kadisha, or whoever's involved, and they say, we'd like to move the body to Kivrei Avos, or to Eretz Yisrael. And a month later, they'll get a phone call. It happened. When did it happen? Sometime over the last month. And they just don't have to know about it. They're just not involved in the process at all. Why would you potter them from mitzvahs unnecessarily? They're not going to do anything anyway. They're not going to be there and be involved anyway. In fact, Rav Moshe, Negris Moshe Yerodei Chel Gimel, Simon Kuf Samach Aleph writes that it's not an actual tour from mitzvahs like a regular dinner of an onin. It's just an osik b'mitzvah, meaning because we assume he's too busy being malakei tiatzamos, so that's why he's not going to be obligated to do other mitzvahs during that time. But if he's not at all busy being malakei tiatzamos, and it's not that he's an onin that he has like an issur to do mitzvahs or anything like that, he's not involved at all. So the chaver kedusha will take care of it, and they never even let him know. I meant to reach out to my father today because my grandfather's remains were moved a few years ago. I wanted to ask him what happened. I forgot the exact story, but I think that's what they did. My grandfather was originally buried in Newark, New Jersey. My grandfather died when my father was 7 years old, when he was a little boy. So my grandmother was an almana for over 50 years before she died. So by the time she died, Newark was no longer a Jewish community, right? It's as you probably know, if you ever drive through Newark, just keep driving. Don't stop at red lights, just keep driving. So Newark is no longer a nice from community. The cemetery is, you know, not in super duper great shape. And my grandmother's buried in Har HaMenuchos, a much nicer place to be buried and a much nicer place to visit. So they moved my grandfather to Har HaMenuchos. I think at the time they did not tell my father about it. I think they didn't. My father and his sister, and they just moved it without. I think my cousin Natal maybe it may have been involved because he doesn't have to be, you know, he wouldn't have to do any avelus anyway. But I think he just made all the arrangements and told my parents afterwards that it was done. I think I didn't follow up today to find out. I probably should have. Okay, is there a din of kriya? No comments or questions yet. Okay, is there a din of kriya by Likud Atzamos? So in Evel Rabasi Perek Yud Beis, it says that anyone that you would be Korea of B'Shas Misasa, you're Korea of B'Shas Likud Atzamos. Anyone that's not Mis'acha B'Shas Misasa, that you wouldn't be allowed to sew it up, the same is true by Likud Atzamos. And the Mechaber Paskins is right here in Sif Beis. In the Chuvus Maril Diskin, Kuntros Achron, Os Reish, he has the following suffix. What if you were not Korea B'Zman Likud Atzamos? Do you need to be Korea the next day? So he brings a raya from Rabbi Meir in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir allows being malakid atzmos aviv imo and yantiv. So according to the Ramban, Simon Shin Mem, Sifam and Aleph, that you're not korea b'moed, so al yidei being malakid and yantiv, you're being mafkia, the mitzvah's kriya, for the covet of the av, you know, which is normally a kiyum of kibbut av. So even though you're being mafkia the etzim avelus, that we're not worried about. That's because simchas haregel is docha the avelus. But we should still be choshesh for the bitl mitzvah of kriya. Why aren't we choshesh for that? Ella, says the Maril Diskin, it's muchach that calls man that the beged is that he still has the beged. He's able to be korea even though it's not the same day as the Likud Atzamos actually happened. So you could be korea la'achar ha-moed, and that's why the Ramei allows in the Mishnah being Malakir Atzamos and Moed, because it's not costing the fellow the Chi of Kriya. You could just do the Kriya later on. That's what Maral Diskin concludes. You could argue with the Raya. You could argue with the Raya and say that Kriya is similar to the Avelus, that just like we're going to allow the Simchas Yom Tov to be Docha, the Avelus will allow it to be Docha, the Kriya as well. But that's how Maral Diskin concludes. I don't think that's the practice. I don't think when they tell the person the next day or whenever they tell him that he does Kriya, I think it's not the practice. Now, the what about a Kohen? So a fascinating ha'ara that Rav Shechter made in the name of Rav Soloveitchik over here, and this is something a lot of people are totally unaware of. The Drish over here in Os Aleph writes that if he was a Kohen, then you're not allowed to be Malakid Atzamos because maybe Nechsar Aviv, maybe the body is not intact anymore. And therefore, apparently, the Gemara in Nazir is explicit that a Kohen is only allowed to be metame to the Zayin Krovim if the mace is shalem. But if the mace is chaser, then it's usher for the Kohen to be metame to the Zayin Krovim. Chaser means that it became more chaser la'achar misaso. Right? If you have a person who, Rahman al-Tzlan, you know, had an amputation during their lifetime, and then they died, so he's allowed to be metame to that because the person is as they were. But if the person becomes chaser li achar hamisa, then the Kohen is not allowed to be Metami. So that's what the Drisha says. A Kohen can't do Likrat Samos because the father may be Chaser at that point, and therefore he can't do the Likrat Samos. So Rav Shechter pointed out in the name of Salvechik that if they ever have to do an autopsy, again, lo aleinu, we should never have to require such things, but if they ever have to do an autopsy on a mace for whatever need, a criminal investigation or whatever it is, the Kohen is not allowed to be Metami to the relative anymore because they draw out a lot of the blood, Mishas Misaso, in order to do the autopsy. I saw later sort of Shurmach discusses this, if the fact that they take out a Revius of Dam or whatever else, whether that's considered to be Chaser. But it's at least a Shaila, meaning something that, you know, one of those things that at least you have to have in the back of your mind to know to think about as a Shaila of what the halachic status of Chaser is when it comes to Tumas Kohanim. Now, the Ramban writes weiter that it says in Evel Rabasi that Einom Dunaleim Beshura, Einom Malayim Birchas Aveilim, but Om Malayim Tanchum in the Atzmo, Ein Marvin Aleim Bechavarir. You don't do the Havra'a Bechavarir with a group, Av Marvin Aleim Betoch Beiso B'makom Liatzmo. They do the Suta Savra in the house in his own private place. The Ramban and the Rush and the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Halachavav and in Halachas quote the paraphrase the Yerushalmi in the first Perek Moed Katan that Likud that Samos Ein Omrim Aleim Kina ve'Ein Omrim Aleim Birchas Aveilim v'Tanchum Aveilim Avol Omrim Aleim Dvarim. What does that mean? You don't say Kina, but you say Dvarim by Likud that Samos. What are the Dvarim? Rabban and Omrim Kilusin. Okay, what does that mean? So the Torah quotes two deos over here. Number one is that shemekalsin ameis umasaper b'shivcha, that it's a good time to give another hesped, you know, say something nice about the mace, not the kind of hesped of morid d'maos and bechi or whatever, but, you know, talk about the shevach of the mace. And yesh omrim shemekalsin lakadosh baruch hu shehu meimis umachayah, that you should dafka give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's meimis umachayah. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, you have like that. Both, he mentions both deos of the Torah, that you speak about the Shevach of the Mace and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, before we move on to Likudat Samos Moed, let's see what the comment is here. Would this apply Kohen not becoming Tami if the person died in a way that made them Chaser, like a terrible accident? I think it means like after the Misa he becomes Chaser. Something else happened after the Misa that caused him to be Chaser, if I'm not mistaken. The Mishnah and Daf Chesem Rav tells us there's Machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yossi. This is where it all starts, right? And Daf Chesem Rav, Machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yossi, whether you're allowed to be Malakit Atzmos Aviv on Yontif. So Rav Meir says it's mutter because Simcha Hilo. You normally don't think of a day of Avelos as a Simcha Hilo. Adrab, it's the opposite of Simcha. Rav Meir says mutter though because it's Simcha Hilo. It's an entirely appropriate activity to be doing on Yontif. And Rabbi Yossi says it's also because Avel Hilo. Where's the Simcha? So Rashi writes, because to bring someone to Kivrei Avos when they were stuck somewhere else, to bring someone to Hara Menuchos when they were stuck in Newark, not so bad. That's a pretty big Simcha. That you know that now they're in Hara Menuchos and they're not in Newark anymore. No hard feelings toward Newark and all the wonders that Cory Booker did there or whatever, but you know, okay. So now they're in Kivrei Avos. They're in a better place. They're in Hara Menuchos. They're in a better place. So that's the Simcha, says Rashi. The Numukei Yosef writes that he's sameach mepreshem mechabir avavi imo, that by bringing them to a kever hagun, you're being mechabid them. So it's a simcha shel mitzvah that you're mechabid the parents. Karen Ora points out that even though on the day of the likud it is tzar, meaning Rabbi Yossi is not incorrect. Even according to Rabbi Meir, he acknowledges, of course, it's distressing. It's a reminder that your parents are no longer there. You know, people who have lost a parent, lo aleinu, you know, very often they'll have like these moments where it becomes more challenging, you know, like specific moments that it's more challenging. For some people, you know, Father's Day was without a father, Father's Day is a little more challenging. For many, many, many people, it's the yard site. You know, there are things, there are just times that, so you'd imagine the day of Likudat Samos, it's a very distressing day. It's a very upsetting day for them. Rameir acknowledges that, says the Karen Ora, but the heter is because it's going to ultimately lead to a greater simcha, because now you know that they are better taken care of, that they're in a place that is a more appropriate kever. So even though right now it's very distressing, it's going to lead to simcha. And we have such a halacha. It's mutter for an isha to be losud besid, to put some sort of treatment on her face that could be very painful and very, you know, it's a hair removal treatment or whatever that's very painful for her, and it causes her tsar, but it brings her simcha because then her cheeks are more rosy and she has a nicer complexion. And I mean, she's doing it for a reason. She's experiencing that tsar because she wants to look nice in the end. So that's what the Karen Ora compares it to. What about Rabbi Yossi Shita, that Evel Hilo? So the Piskei Arid and the Nemukei Yosef say, because Libo Doig Alav, when you see Atzmos Avimo, it's just upsetting. The Rimi Lunil says that when you see Atzmoseim, you remember that Shekachtia Achariso, Rima V'Talei, meaning you realize that it's not just them, but it's the destiny of all of humanity to end up that way, and that itself is upsetting. That causes one to assess what he's accomplished in life, v'chulei. And the Shita, the Talmud Harimi Pariz, says that when you see Atzmoseim, you'll remember Misasam, and that's why it will cause great tsar. Okay, so that's why, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So how do we pass? The Ramban writes Halacha Kremeir. Because Mahadir Talmud Frushi Milsa Jameir. It's an interesting klal and psak that when the Gemara goes out of its way to be Meva'ir one Shita in Tanaim more so than the other Shita in Tanaim, that's an indicator, not always a Raya Brura, but an indicator that that's the way the psak leans. Even though, as Moreno Rav Shecht always likes to say, Eluv Eluv Divrei Elokim Chaim means that even when you learn Shitas Beishamai, it's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, and the Gemara could spend dapim, being Mevar Shitas Beishamai, and that's a wonderful kiyum of Talmud Torah, even though we're not going to pass in that way. But when the Gemara chooses one Shita to be Mevar and the other Shita not to, that's an indicator, at least an indicator. So that's what the Ramban writes. The Ramban, Perikir Aleph Halacha Gimel, passing like Rabbi Yossi, because the fact that the Gemara tries to, it's not enough to be Mevatel the other klal that we have in Erevin Memvav, Rameir Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, that we pass like Rabbi Yossi against Rameir. So you're not going to go with a klal that's not really a klal, it's just an indicator versus something that's an actual klal, that when you have these two Tanaim that you're supposed to pass on like Rabbi Yossi. So that's what the Beis Yossi, that's how the Beis Yossi explains Shita to Rambam, and therefore the Beis Yossi says we pass on like the Rambam. And that's why in Sif Dalid, Ein Malaktin Atzmos Aviv B'moed, Vein Tzarech Lomar Atzmos Shar Krovim. So we don't do Likud Atzmos even for a parent, and for sure not for Shar Krovim, where there's no additional element of Kibbud Av that's being fulfilled by doing it. We don't do that on Cholam Moed. Good, that's how we pass on against the Shita of the Ramban. The Yerushalmi discusses, just relating to yesterday's shir a little bit, the Yerushalmi, quoted by the Torah, says that there's no shmua for Likra Tzamos. If you hear the next day, then there's no din of Avelus. There's no like din of Shmua Krova by Likra Tzamos, where you have to observe Avelus when you hear about it. But if Shema Biyom, but if you actually hear about it on that day, so then there is a Shmua Likra Tzamos, even if you're not directly involved. And that's what the Mechaber writes in Sif Hey, Shema Shayom Likto Atzmos Echom Nikrova Shumas Abel Aleim Afal Pi Shalom Haya Shom Misabel Aleim Aval Shema Shenilkdu Etmol Ein Misabel Aleim. The Rama adds from the Yerushalmi. If you look in Pisrei Tshuva, he quotes a Chasam Sofer in Simchas Shinun Gimel that we should make a Tov Lasos Takana V'Itzur Shalola Hodia L'Shum Adam. This is what we were referring to before. That the Chasam Sofer says, just don't tell anybody. Don't tell them that you're Malakin Atzmos Krovav. And that's Gemilas Chasadim. The Torah is Chasa Al Yisrael Ubitul Zmanayim. We don't want them to have to waste time with Avelus and Aninus and everything, or whatever has to be done. Let's just let them know later on. And that's what we pass. If you look in Yechavadah, Simon and Tess, I think in Chelek Aleph, Simon and Tess, Aravadia passes that way La'alacha as well. The Pesachei Tshuva then quotes another interesting thing from the Chasam Sofer. Pesachei Tshuva writes, in the name of Chasam Sofer, Yerdeus and Mishinun Hei, Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkat and Beis, that if a woman's husband died, and now she's remarried, and then they do a Likur Atzamos of the first husband, then she should not be Mesabel on the day of Likur Atzamos. And even the guf, even the actual avelus, shouldn't be done. Meaning, forget about Likra Tzamos, even if it's just the real avelus, but she's already remarried by the time real avelus comes around. What does that mean? How could that possibly be? How could she get remarried if they were never misabel? Right? Normally, if they haven't been misabel, it's because they haven't given up hope yet, right? So no, it could happen. We know it could happen, right? What could happen? That they took away the body. You know that he was dead. They took away the body, and you were in a siyash milakavro. You know that he was dead, but you thought you were never going to be able to recover the body. And then, you know, the body was washed away in the ocean or something, Maim Shelem Sof or whatever. So she's allowed to get remarried. And then one day there were some fishermen out in the ocean going fishing, and they pull up the body, right? And they see the body over there floating, or it comes up ashore somewhere. So now there should be an avelus. So if they are, I'm sorry, she gets remarried before they're nisyaish. The search teams are still out, but she gets remarried. And then they're nisiyash milkavro after she's already remarried. So it could be that she's ena misabelas in that case. So especially likrat samos, because the second marriage, and this is a fascinating comment, the second marriage takes away any relationship she has with her first husband. Relationship not meaning doesn't take away history, and it takes away the fact that the husband is a relative. Meaning the fact that a man and his wife are related to each other does not end when the man dies. It ends when she gets remarried. That's an interesting discussion in Achronim. Rabbi Kiveger and the Behuda, there's an interesting discussion in Achronim, whether we assume that Gerushin and death accomplish the same type of severing of a marriage. Intuitively, I think the Nodi Behuda has an expression that al pitoris hanigla v'toris hanistar, it's not the same, that it can't be the same, that Gerushin ends the marriage, death does not. It's only when the person gets remarried that really puts an end to the marriage. And until then, they're still considered krovim. But here you have a play out in a real halachic context. So let's see, my side of the night over here regarding the case in Pischi Tshuva, is it the same din if a man's wife passed away and they do likrat samos? Is there still avelus? Meaning, and he remarried, you're saying. So because a man is allowed to marry more than one woman, probably he still would be able to do avelus, right? Meaning, strictly speaking, you know, it's probably not the same. I didn't see any discussion about it, but probably not the same. But that's what the Pischi Tshuva writes, that Racha Darchei Noam Echol Nesiva Sa'a Shalom. So you can't be knowing Avelus in front of a new husband when about the first husband. A few more details of Likrat Samos, and then we'll conclude with that. When they bring the mace from the original Makom to the Makom Kvaraso, even if he's Munach Ba'aron Shel Matechas, even if he's in a metal casket, and they bury him that way in that Aron, the Chaznish writes in Siman Reish Gimel Sif Aleph, that's included, that still counts as Likrat Samos. You don't have to actually be picking up bones. And it's only if it's an Aron Shel Evan that there's no din of Likrat Samos, because Evan is Bechlal HaKarka. Meaning, if it's an Aron Shel Evan, he never became unburied, because being in Evan is the same as being in the ground. The Geshar Chaim in Parech Avav, Os Dalid, Os Yud Beis, says that if the Aron is moved from the first Kever and buried somewhere else without Likrat Samos, then meaning that you were never malakit yatzamos from the first kever because you just picked up the whole aron, and you never were malakit yatzamos into the second kever because you just put the whole aron in, then it does not have a din of likaratzamos. That's what the Geshra Chaim writes. And that's how Rav Avadia Paskin says as well. Apparently, they had this issue after the Milchemet Yom Kippurim that they there were a lot of people that had to just be buried quickly and then later on moved. So if they were buried in an aron and the whole aron was moved, Rav Avadia was apparently makel that there is no din of likrat samos. The rush and the Ramban write from the Evel Rabasi that a person should not be malakir atzmos avavi imo on his own. He should have other people be malakir atzmos avavi imo. And Rabbi Yochanan says that he could be malakdom after they've already decomposed. So before the basar has decomposed, no one should be malakit them. So the Torah writes that it's mistaver taimed Rabbi Yochanan, that when the flesh is not yet decomposed, you shouldn't be malakit. It also says of the Elazar Rebbe Tzaddik says that tziva lo aviv, not to be malakit atzmosav biyadav, but to let other people do it, so that shlo yu bezuyin be'enav. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch passes in the Siv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes likra tzamos einu ela mishiyich lehabasar. That it's better not to do it on your own, better to have someone else do it. That's the actual act itself is like degrading to the parents. It also says that if you're malakit atzamos and you're mishamer atzamos and you're molech them mimakom lemakom, you're patur from kriyashma, from tefillin, mikol mitzvah samuras b'torah, bein b'chol bein m'shabes, loshna atzmos krovim, loshna shel rechokim, meaning if you're the one actually doing the job, even if you're not a relative, you're patur from all mitzvos, and whether it's besfina b'derech, even if a lot of people are involved, but if you want to be machmir al-atzmo, lo yachmir mipnei kavod atzamos. You can't even choose to be machmir because of the kavod of the atzamos, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Pasen and Sif Tes, Shach and Sifkat and Gimel writes that Dafka Malaktim Rabim, but Mishamrim Rabim Zem Mishamrim Zekore. Meaning, if there are lots of Shomrim, so one guy can be Shomrim and you don't need a bunch of guys to be Shomrim at the same time. If there are lots of Malaktim, so then they're all actively involved and therefore they should all be Potter. And the Brisa tells us in Brachas Taf Yilches that if you're Molech Hatzamos Mimakom Lamakom, don't put them Lo Besak, Lo Bediskia, V'yanichem Al Gabe Achamar, V'yirkav Aleim, don't put them on the, you know, the saddlebags and then ride on them on the donkey, because that's noig ben minig bizayon. But if you're misyari pneganovim balistim, then it's mutter, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Seif Yud, that even though you're not allowed to treat them bederech bizayon, but when that's the way to protect them, then that's not bechlal bizayon, that's not defined as bizayon. And that brings us to the end of the dinim of likra tzavos, the end of Siman Tav Gimel, bila amavus nesach macha Hashem elokim dima me'al kol panim. So Be'ezras Hashem, now is time to chazer. You got a week to chazer, and then I got a week to write a bechina. So let's see what the questions are over here. Was Geshur Chaim disagreeing with Chazon Ish by the metal casket, or were they different cases? I thought he was disagreeing, but I'll have to take a look again. I thought he was disagreeing. One of the Chassam Sofer's rayas that the wife shouldn't mourn is a kal v'chomer from the fact that we don't comfort the husband after he is remarried. Possibly this might be a raya that the Chassam Sofer's didn't apply to the husband also. Oh, okay, good. Shkayach. Thank you, Gabe. So that would be a raya that we don't, that the same applies also on the other side. Right? Meaning it's mistaver, I guess, that when the person's remarried, that it's hard to, Rachel Darchinon would dictate that that there shouldn't be too much focus on the first wife while the second wife is living in the house and you're trying to be married to her. There are certain, it depends on the case. I'm familiar with one case where a couple was married, two couples were very good friends with each other for decades, very, very close friends. The wife of one died, the husband of the other died, and then they married each other. They always talk about their first spouses because they were best friends, meaning the original wife was best friends with the new wife, and the original husband was best friends with the new one. I don't know, it's a little weird, I guess, but okay. All right, everyone have a great, great day, a great summer. Hopefully we'll be in touch a little bit. Please do that. Please stay in touch a little bit, and maybe we'll see each other on Zooms or maybe even in person somewhere. Okay, take care, everybody.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thank
pleasure.
You for the whole year, I think.
Pleasure.
Have a good day.
Okay.